Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker puffed rice. It's nice. And when you hear the shooting, you're darn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And the ones shot from guns give you something important. Yes, listen to this. If you want to have the kind of stamina that Sergeant Preston has, the stamina that pulls him through his rugged Yukon adventures, both Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat give you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So for the nourishing treat that can't be beat, eat delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Ladies and gentlemen, our entire organization has been at work for a long time to prepare a special Sergeant Preston adventure for Christmas afternoon. In addition to drama, you'll hear music, singing, and a Christmas message. Listen at this same time, Christmas Day. Rumors were heard around Dawson of an Eskimo tribe in the far north, enslaved by the Bearded Ones, who were said to be evil spirits in man form, and came in a ship of ice from the unknown regions. The strange rumors were topic for conversation in the Dawson Cafe.
Say, did you all hear the story told by the caribou hunters who passed through here recently?
Yeah. Hey, I didn't hear it. What's it all about?
Seems they found an Eskimo in the foothills. He was too far gone for them to do him any good. But before he died, he told them his tribe up near Mackenzie Bay were made slaves by what he called the Bearded Ones.
Hey, what do you mean by the Bearded Ones?
A week later, Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police went to 40 Mile on a routine tour of duty. He and the constable were going over reports in the constable's office when a prospector entered.
Oh, hello, Hank. Something wrong?
Hi, Sergeant. Hi, Constable.
Hank?
I just got back from a trip north. I found an Eskimo on the trail and brought him in. He's at the doc's house now. He's in a bad way, Sergeant.
Huh?
He keeps babbling something about evil spirits taking over his town. Calls them the Bearded Ones.
The Bearded Ones?
That mean anything to you, Sergeant?
Yes. An Eskimo found about a week ago and brought to Dawson in a dying condition. Talked about evil spirits called the Bearded Ones.
I heard about that, Sergeant. What do you make of it?
I don't know what to make of it, Constable. Let's go over to the doctor's place and get what information we can from that Eskimo.
All right, Sergeant.
A short time later, Sergeant Preston and the constable stood at the bedside of the dying Eskimo.
Who are you? Where do you live?
Me, Kolok. Live Aklavik.
Aklavik? Where's that, Sergeant?
A trading post far to the north, Constable, near the mouth of the Peel River.
The Peel flows north into Mackenzie Bay, doesn't it?
Yes. Tell us, Kolok, why did you leave your home and your people?
We escape evil spirits. Come Aklavik, ship of ice.
The Bearded Ones?
You know them.
One of your people was brought in about a week ago. Before he died, he spoke of the Bearded Ones.
They strike us, even though we escape.
Don't be afraid, Kolok. The medicine of the Red Coat is strong. Tell us all you can. Maybe we'll be able to help your people.
No one help them. Bearded Ones make them slaves. Beat them with whips. Use fire sticks to kill.
You mean they carry guns like this?
Must get away. Them evil spirits beat, kill.
Doctor, better take over now. We've heard about all he's able to tell us.
Yeah, the poor fellow. He's failing fast, Sergeant.
What do you make of his story, Sergeant?
Something's wrong at a Klavik, that's certain.
It's a long way from here.
I know. For the sake of the Eskimo tribe up there, something must be done.
You're going up there?
Yes. If you can arrange for someone to take over your duties here, I'd like you to come with me.
All right, fine.
It's a risky journey this time of year.
The mounted police have to take risks, Doctor. Come on, Constable. We'll go to your office and map our route. See you again, Doctor.
Later, the two Mounties studied a trail map in the Constable's office.
There's the trail we'll have to follow, Constable. Mm-hmm. We'll follow this river up to Lamond Lake, that point there.
Mm-hmm. Then where? That's mountainous region.
At the lake, we head east along here to the Wind River. There we turn north, following the Wind River through a valley to where it joins the Peel River.
Once we reach the Peel, we'll follow that toward the bay until we reach a Klavik. Is that it?
Right. We'll need plenty of supplies for a trip like that.
When do we start?
We ought to be on our way in a couple of hours.
Later, with King leading the dog team, the two Mounties left 40 Mile. And still later, they rode northward along the icy surface of the Chandindu River. When they made a periodic stop to rest the dog team, Preston brought something to the constable's attention.
Constable, you noticed the personal effects of that Eskimo Kolak?
Well, I did see a hunting knife and a few odds and ends on the table near his cot.
There's something I noticed.
A coin of some kind.
That's right. A Russian coin.
A Russian coin? I wonder where he got it.
No, but it set me thinking. The bearded ones he and the other Eskimo spoke of may be Russians.
Well, that's possible, but what would they be doing up there?
I recall a Russian expedition that stopped at Point Barrow a year ago last spring. It was said to be a geological expedition. Neither the ship nor the men on it have been heard of since.
What? Then you think...
I don't know why that ship would put in at the Klavik, but something may have gone wrong. And if it did, that would account for Kolak having a Russian coin.
Maybe you're right.
Let's go.
All right, on King! On your husky!
For many days, the two Mounties pressed on through the bitter cold and over the rough, icy trail. They finally reached the Wind River and followed it northward through a valley bordered with high, wind-swept peaks covered with ice and snow. The days that followed were uneventful. The cold above the Arctic Circle was bitter, and the going at times rougher than Sergeant Preston had ever encountered before. But they finally made their way through to the Peel River and moved northward toward a Klavik. But it seemed that evil forces were at work to stop them from reaching their destination. One morning...
Hey, Sergeant.
What's the matter?
What do you make of that dark line along the horizon?
Oh, it could be low-hanging clouds.
Maybe. It looks strange. It seems to be spread out for some distance.
We're heading toward it, so we'll find out sooner or later.
On, King! On, your husky!
For a short time, nothing more was said. But the sergeant and the constable kept their eyes on the mysterious dark rim stretched across their path in the distance. Preston stopped the dogs to rest a few moments.
Bunking! Hurry,
Sergeant, you hear a strange rumbling?
Yes, I do.
What do you make of it?
Can't quite figure it out. Say, that's no cloud ahead of us, Constable. Look.
It seems to be moving this way.
That's right, and now I know what it is.
What?
It's a large herd of caribou. And from the sound, I'd say they're stampeding toward us.
Great Scott, what can we do?
We'll head for that slope to the left and hope we reach it in time.
All right! Untangle! On, you husky!
Sergeant Preston steered the dog sled toward a slope some distance to the left. Now the caribou herd was plainly discernible as it thundered ever closer like a low, wide, black cloud of doom. Once more, the valiant husky king exerted every effort to gain more speed, frantically barking to urge the dogs onward.
You think we'll make it in time?
Let's hope so. We have to make it. That caribou herd's coming with the speed of an express train. On, King! On, fella! Mush, you huskies! Mush!
Preston, concerned for their safety, eyed the approaching herd with misgivings. He began to realize the slope was farther away than he had first thought. He saw they were nearing the slope, but the herd was getting so close, it was questionable they'd be far enough off to the side to escape the frenzied caribou. He called out,
"Use your gun, Constable! Fire in the air! We must make them turn away from us,
right?"
For a moment, it seemed that the shots were not effective.
But as the two Mounties continued to fire, the outer ranks of the racing herd pushed toward the center and away from the men and dogs. With only feet to spare, the lumbering beast rushed past. Preston kept the dog team on the run to put more distance between the sled and the herd in case one or more of the heavy animals should swerve toward them. Finally, the last of the herd went thundering past.
Smoking! Hold your husky! Hold on!
Sergeant, no wonder that Eskimo thought the bearded ones were powerful evil spirits. If much more happens, I'll begin to believe it, too.
That's the second narrow escape we've had. Up here, it's a continual fight against nature to survive.
Oh, you can say that again.
Well, we're still among the living, thanks to King and my dog team. I'll turn back now and follow the river toward Aklavik.
All right, on, King! On, you husky!
Days later, the two Maudis estimated they were getting fairly close to their destination. Snow began to fall late one afternoon as they moved over the river ice. At that point, evergreens lined the banks of the river. Suddenly...
Wolfgang, hold your huskies! Hold on! Both shots came from a clump of trees on the left bank.
I see someone running away. Constable, what? You're holding your arm. You were hit.
It doesn't seem to be much, Sergeant. It stings quite a bit, though.
I'll look at it.
Quickly, Preston inspected the wound and found that a bullet had scraped the constable's forearm. He bandaged the wound and then spoke.
There.
Yeah, thanks.
Evidently, someone up this way doesn't like the mounted police.
You think whoever fired at us might be connected with the bearded men at Aklavik?
Yes. Remember, the Eskimos up here don't have guns. I'll try to trail the man who shot at us, but with the snow falling so heavily, it may be a waste of time.
On, King! On, you husky!
Two Mounties stopped at the clump of evergreens. Preston found snowshoe tracks that were fairly clear under the trees. But he soon found that the would-be killer had gone back over a hill and that the tracks were being quickly obliterated by the falling snow.
No use wasting time following him, Constable. I'd say he headed for a Aklavik. Well, go on. Perhaps when we reach there, we'll find out who he is.
That's the best idea.
All right, on King! On, you husky!
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Boy, oh boy, only one more day until Christmas. I wonder who that is. What? Why, it's our friend the postman. How are you?
Fine, young fella.
I bet you're mighty busy delivering Christmas packages these days.
Sure am.
Got anything for me?
Well, now, not exactly. Just this here.
Why, of all things, it's a package of Quaker Puffed wheat and a package of Quaker Puffed rice.
That's right.
Well, what gives?
I tell you, I used to eat a big bowl full of Quaker Puffed wheat or Quaker Puffed rice every morning.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And I used to pour on the old milk of cream and top it off with fruit.
Yes?
You know, a postman like me works pretty hard. On your feet all day. You need a good breakfast.
That's right. Everybody does. And Quaker Puffed wheat or Quaker Puffed rice furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
Man, it tastes swell, too.
But look, a moment ago, you said you used to eat either Quaker Puffed wheat or Quaker Puffed rice every morning.
Well, sit, now I got a better idea.
Oh?
I take a big bowl, pour some Quaker Puffed rice into it until it's half full, then fill it up the rest of the way with Quaker Puffed wheat.
I get it. Sort of half and half, huh?
Sure. That way I enjoy both kinds together, right at the same time, every morning.
That's a fine idea. Fellas and girls, just try it tomorrow morning. And don't forget, Quaker Puffed wheat and Quaker Puffed rice are shot from guns to make them crisp and tender. Yes, these king-size premium grains are actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them bigger and better tasting. Ask Mom right now to order big red and blue packages of delicious Quaker Puffed wheat and Quaker Puffed rice. Shot from gun. Now to continue. The
following morning, in the cold, dim light of the Arctic dawn, the two Mounties reached a hilltop and saw Klavik a short distance ahead of them. The snow had stopped, and a bleak, cold wind blew from the north, swirling the fog that hung over the ice-covered river.
Hulking! Hi, Husky! Hello! Well, Constable, there's a Klavik below us.
At last. Say, look. Icebound in the river near the settlement.
What? An ice-covered ship. That's it, Constable. I'm sure that's the Russian expedition ship that never returned.
You must be right about the bearded men, then.
Looks like it. But the captain of that expedition was really a geological expert. He had clearance papers from the Crown and from the States to explore in the Arctic region.
Something must have happened.
Yes, and I'm going to find out what. We'll drive the sled behind that iceberg on the off side of the ship and leave it there. Then you and I'll try and get on board without being seen. The river fog will hide our approach.
The dog sled was driven to the point indicated by Preston and left there out of sight, guarded by King. Preston and the constable easily approached the ship over the ice-clogged, fog-covered river. The ice and snow had piled up to within a foot of the top of the ship rail, so they merely had to step aboard. Moving cautiously and with drawn guns, the two Mounties moved along the deck of the seemingly deserted ship. They heard muffled voices coming from within one of the cabins. They stopped outside the cabin door and listened.
And when the thaw comes and we sail from this forsaken place, we'll get plenty of gold stowed away.
Yes, Ivan. We have you to thank for telling us of this place. There'll be enough gold for all five of us. But where shall we go when we leave here?
Not back to Russia, you may be sure of that, Bor. How could he answer the questions about the others, eh?
What about the captain?
We need him to help us navigate the ship in the unknown waters. After we are well on our way, he will go overboard like the others did.
And what of the Eskimos? During the spring, one or more may get word to the authorities about us.
Do not worry. Some of them have already died from the treatment we have given them. And some have served their purpose in the mines. We will do away with the rest of the tribe.
The men in the cabin lowered their voices, and as Preston and the constable strained to hear, they were suddenly startled.
Don't move, either of you.
What?
This gun might go on.
He sneaked up behind us.
Yeah. We knew a couple of Eskimos got away and that somebody might come snooping. That's why we kept watch along the trail.
So you were the one who tried to kill us.
Sure. But I knew I'd get another chance. Open that cabin door and go inside. Go on.
We
got visitors.
Two redcoats. Take their guns, Paul, when we splash.
I have them.
Get some rawhide and tie them.
Yes.
While Ivan and Dave held guns, Paul securely tied Sergeant Preston and the constable. Their hands were tied behind their backs and their ankles were bound. Then they were placed on bunks.
You have both come a long way just to die, my friends.
You'll be hunted for murder by the entire mounted police force.
That is ridiculous. You'll both disappear under the ice. No one will ever know what happened to you.
No doubt you've already murdered the rest of the crew.
That is right, Sergeant. Our American friend Dave learned of the gold. Plenty of gold here in the Klavi.
When Ivan and I signed on this ship at Point Barrow, we planned then to take over the ship and head for here.
We had better kill these two men and get it over with before we go to the mine and take our turn as guards there.
No, Ivan, wait.
Why do you say wait, Dave?
I know the Mounties. They may have a couple more headed this way.
Is that right, Sergeant? Are there more coming?
Maybe.
In case we aren't as lucky getting a drop on any who might follow these two, we'll keep the sergeant and his companion tied up as hostages. There's time enough to get rid of them. Let's go. Paul, you stay to guard him.
Ivan and Dave left. The man, Paul, stayed aboard, sitting in the cabin with the two Mounties. Finally, he rose from his chair.
I do not think you'll be able to get loose during the time it will take me to go get some coffee in the galley.
Where do you keep the captain?
So, you are listening at the door, eh? You know he is still alive.
Yes.
He is tied and locked in the cabin next to this one. He does not eat too much, so he's not too strong. I shall lock this door until I get back.
Oh, Sergeant, this is a fine mess we're in. There just isn't any way out of it that I can figure.
Maybe there is. I noticed that that man Paul put our guns in the locker over there. If I can manage to get up to the porthole...
Preston struggled to a sitting position.
Now I'll try to hop over to that porthole... Sergeant Preston managed to hop across to the porthole, which looked out on the deck beyond the door. The porthole covering was locked by means of a short handle or lever, which dropped into a protruding slot. With his elbow, the sergeant pushed against the handle.
Must get this open.
You did it.
With his elbow, the sergeant managed to swing the glass covering open.
What are you going to do? It's too small for you to get through.
We're on the starboard side of the ship, looking toward the place where we left King. I'll try to signal him.
Guard might hear you.
He went below. He may not. King heard me. He understood. Here he comes, toward the ship. A few minutes later, King stood below the porthole on the ship's deck. Take cover, King. Hide, fella. Take cover and wait. Over there, King. Go, boy. The intelligent and well-trained husky turned and went behind a large coil of heavy ice-caked rope on the deck, which hid him from sight. Preston waited anxiously for the guard Paul to return. The porthole overlooking the deck was next to the door. Finally, he heard Paul coming. The Russian didn't pass the open porthole, so he didn't notice it. He put the key into the lock and opened the door. King! At Preston's command, spoken through the porthole, King sprang toward the man who was just entering.
What is this? A wolf, help!
King had grabbed Paul's gun arm as the man was about to draw. The force of King's attack drove Paul into the cabin and knocked him to the floor.
Help! Get him away!
King! Down, boy. Watch him.
Get him away.
As Paul got to his feet, King moved between him and the door so the man couldn't get out. Paul, shaking with fear, looked at the snarling dog before him.
Don't let him come at me again.
Come over here. Hurry.
Yes, yes. Keep that animal away.
Watch him closely, King.
Oh, oh, stop him. He's going to jump me
he
again.
He may, but he'll not hurt you if you do as I tell you. Now, untie my hands. Quick.
No, that I shall not do.
King.
Help, take him away. I do it, I do it.
Done, King. On guard, boy.
I untie you.
With shaking fingers, the Russian untied Preston's hands. Then the Mountie hurriedly removed the bonds from his own ankles and from the constable's hands and ankles. King stood guard over Paul.
There. I have his gun. Get ours from the locker, constable.
Right. Now I have them.
Good. Now we'll free the captain and we'll see about the others. But first, tie up this Russian.
Leaving Paul tightly bound and locking the cabin after them, the two Mounties found and released the captain. They gave the captain Paul's gun.
I never believed I'd see the outside world again. You're heaven sent. You saved my life.
You feel strong enough to help us get the rest?
Yes, of course. There are four others. They're in the mine guarding the Eskimo slaves. I shall take you there. We can easily surprise them.
Good. Let's go. Come on, King.
In a long tunnel cut deep into the side of a hill, Ivan and two other crooks watched as the enslaved Eskimos worked to dig out the gold. The main entrance to the tunnel had been closed off with boarding and a rough door to keep out the wind and cold. Lanterns hung throughout the tunnel, and the through crooks sat on small kegs with ready guns.
And Dave is at the other entrance on guard, but he does not like being there alone. Soon one of you men will go to relieve him.
Outside, Preston learned of the other entrance from the captain, who had been forced for a time to work in the mines with the Eskimos. He told Preston only one guard was there. Preston left with King, telling the constable and the captain to give him 10 minutes, then to go through the main entrance to the mine. A short time later, Ivan and the two others were suddenly alerted by a strange silence as the digging gradually stopped.
Something is wrong. Take the whips.
Never mind the whips. Right, short of you.
One of the Mounties, they came in the other way.
Yes, I took your American friend by surprise at the other entrance. Drop your gun.
No, I did not.
Ivan, wounded in the arm, dropped his gun. His two companions raised their guns to fire, but...
Drop those guns fast! Watch out! The other Mountie and the captain are behind you!
The two crooks trapped between Preston and King and the constable and the captain quickly dropped their guns.
Get back, I'll pick up these guns. Watch them, King.
Sergeant, here come the Eskimos.
You're all free to go to your igloos. The bearded ones are only men. They no longer will harm you. Now we'll tie these crooks and take them back to the ship. Let's get busy.
The bearded men were securely tied and locked in cabins of the ship. Strong young Eskimo men were chosen to help take them back to jail at 40 Mile. The following morning, three Eskimo sleds stood near the Mountie's dog sled. The prisoners were already handcuffed and on the sleds ready to be transported. Plenty of supplies were ready for the trip back. The Eskimos crowded around as the captain spoke to Preston.
Sergeant, I shall stay here among the Eskimos and live aboard my ship until the thaw. The gold will be returned to them.
I'll make my report, Captain. I'm sure the authorities will see to it that you have a crew in the spring. And the government will send representatives to handle the gold for the Eskimos.
Oh, before you leave, Sergeant, the tribal chieftain requested that I give you this.
We never accept gifts, Captain.
Now, wait. On this heavy gold chain is a gold circlet, like a large gold coin. The Eskimos desire that you have it inscribed and given to your brave dog to wear around his neck.
Oh. Very well. I'll accept their fine gift for King.
Here, fella.
This is for you to wear, boy. There. We thank you all. From now on, you need have no fear of bearded ones coming to your village. They'll go to prison and their spirits will be stilled forever. For you and for us, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next adventure. Christmas is in the air.
And good food is on the table.
Yes, fellas and girls, for a holiday breakfast treat for the whole family these mornings and any morning, you can't beat delicious, crisp, Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat topped with milk or cream and fruit.
Everybody goes for the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural grain.
It's the sun-ripened, natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it.
Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are never coated with factory sweetening.
And as Mother knows, some members of the family like their cereal not so sweet,
and others like it very sweet.
Well, here's the beauty of Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat.
The family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
So Mom can't miss when she serves the one shot from gun.
Quaker puffed wheat and rice are exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them extra crisp and tender.
And they stay as crisp as can be because of the sealed inner lining in the package.
So why not go to the store with Mom tomorrow and be sure she gets the big red and blue package of delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat for a treat that can't be beat.
Sergeant Preston's heart was heavy when he entered the inspector's office on Christmas Eve after a hurried 24-hour trip.
Sergeant Preston reporting, Inspector. Why was I recalled from my patrol? What's wrong?
Sergeant, some surprising things have happened during the past few days. Things that vitally concern you. All the evidence is in the drill hall. We'll go there immediately.
What is in the drill hall? What will Preston see when the door opens? Be sure to listen. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereal, shot from gun.
Everywhere you go, dogs are barking for their favorite food, kennel meal. Here's an English bulldog.
I say, I think that kennel meal is just bully.
And here's a German police dog.
Ach, but the meat flavor of kennel meal is good.
Better feed your dog kennel meal. The meal with meat flavor dogs really love. Nourishing, thrifty, just pennies per serving. Everywhere you go, dogs are barking for their favorite food, kennel meal.
This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.